Hello and welcome back to Practicing English, and this is part two of the story Doghouse Riley. This is a B1 and B2 level story with lots of useful phrases for students at those levels. So this is a follow-on from podcast 182, and today I'm going to talk about some expressions about dogs and also those useful B2 expressions for you and B1 expressions. So, here we go. Hello and welcome to Practicing English. My name is Mike Bilbra, and these are podcasts for students of English at B1 or B2 levels, or for those students who just want to improve their general English. Now, it was very tempting for me to bring in some expressions about dogs. As you know, if you've listened to the first podcast, podcast 182, what I'm doing is a story based on a picture with dogs. And the picture is at my website, or also in the picture which comes with the show notes on your podcast application. I brought in some expressions because it was something that I had to do. There are a lot of expressions in English regarding dogs and cats as well. I didn't want to put a lot in there because I want to keep this strictly sort of B1 and B2 level. But these are the expressions you will hear in the story. One is dog eat dog. Dog eat dog. What does that mean? Dog eat dog means that in this life, what we are trying to do is to get things for ourselves, and those people in the way will probably suffer because I want what I want and I don't care about anybody else. The next one is to teach an old dog new tricks. So the expression actually says you can't teach an old dog new tricks, which means that people who are older perhaps find it much more difficult to learn something new. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. And the next one is, well, this is one that everybody knows, and I brought it in because all my students seem to know this expression. It's raining cats and dogs, which means it's raining very, very much. In fact, a lot of people don't say that at all. I think we'd probably say it's really pouring down outside. It's raining very heavily. But it's raining cats and dogs is something which is obviously sounds very sweet, doesn't it? And it's quite interesting, the idea of cats and dogs falling out of the sky. It is an expression that we use, but I don't use it personally very much. Raining cats and dogs. And the last one I've got is cat got your tongue. Cat got your tongue. So that's some ellipsis there then. I'm saying, has the cat got your tongue? The tongue being that fleshy thing in your mouth. What does it mean? It means when somebody is very quiet and doesn't say anything, we say, why aren't you speaking? Why aren't you talking? Has the cat got your tongue? Cat got your tongue. All those expressions are in the story. Listen out for them. Let's quickly go over then the B2 and B1 expressions. First, the B1 expressions then to listen out for is to expect somebody. To expect somebody. We have this word in English to expect, which is similar in meaning to wait, except when you are expecting, you think that person is going to arrive. Okay, and you are quite sure that person is going to arrive. Whereas if you are waiting, perhaps you're not sure if somebody is going to arrive or not. So the line to listen out for in the story is, it didn't look like they were expecting me. It didn't look like they were expecting me. Listen out for that and the context that it's used in. The next one is to be up to something. Up to something. So it's really just up and to. To be up to something. And that means to be doing something suspicious. Something to play tricks on somebody else. To fool somebody. To be up to something. Maybe children, for example, sometimes doing something naughty, something wrong. And we say, hey, what are you up to? What are you up to? What are you doing secretly and not telling me about? The next one is to glance. It's a way of looking, G-L-A-N-C-E. I'll put these in the show notes so you can see these expressions there anyway. Which is to look quickly, to glance. And here I've got glance around. So Doghouse Riley goes into this room and he glances around. The line reads, he walked in and I went after him. I glanced around. So I looked quickly around the room. Listen out for that line. The next one is to get rid of something or get rid of somebody, which means you don't want something, so you put it in the bin, for example, the rubbish, to get rid of it because you don't want it. In this case, it's somebody following somebody else, and he has to get rid of the person who is following behind. He wants to escape from that person. The line reads, Rocky was close on my heels. Somehow I had to get rid of him. Somehow I had to get rid of him. Rid, R-I-D. Next one is a dream come true, which is a little expression meaning exactly that. That something that we have dreamt of, something we have wanted for a long time, is now something which is a reality. A dream come true. And the line in the story reads, winning that dog food would be a dream come true. B2 expressions are worse and worse, which we do with a lot of comparatives. We can also say better and better. Worse and worse is in the B2 glossary, meaning something which is getting worse. So over time, something is worse, coming from bad, obviously. Worse being the comparative of bad. And the line in the story is, the weather seems to be getting worse and worse this winter. The next one is the sight of something. Sight, spelled S-I-G-H-T. Sight comes from the word to see something, S-E-E. So the sight of something is something you are looking at. And in the story it says, the sight of those tins of food, T-I-N, which are those metal containers that we often put food in. The sight of those tins brought back fond memories, or happy memories, if you like. The sight of. Listen out for that expression. The next one is not to mention. Not to mention, which really means additionally, furthermore. So when you say something and you want to add some more information, we can say not to mention. Here's the context in the story. Again, it's with the phrase, it was raining cats and dogs yesterday. It was raining cats and dogs yesterday, not to mention the cold. A dog can't get warm at night. Not to mention the cold. So it is also very cold, as well as raining a lot. The next one is to make a fool of oneself. In the story, the line is, I wasn't about to make a fool of myself. So if you make a fool of yourself, it means you do something and other people look at you and think you are stupid. To make a fool of yourself. To do something which is stupid in front of other people. The penultimate one is then, is to be under the impression. If you are under the impression, it means that you believe, you think something is true. And the expression in the story is, I was under the impression something was going on. Something was happening. I was under the impression. I thought something was going on. In this case, it's something suspicious. The last one I have of my B2 expressions is fair enough. Fair enough, which is a very colloquial expression, which means agreed. I agree. And the line in the story reads, nice looking collar. And a collar here is for a dog. A dog wears a collar around its neck. Nice looking collar, said Bozo. Fair enough. You're in. Well, the context of that, there's a lot of things there that needs context. But really what he's saying is, fair enough, I agree. You're in. Which is referring actually to a poker game that they are playing. Fair enough. Agreed. Fair is spelled F-A-I-R. Right, those are my expressions. Let's get on with the story. Here we go. Doghouse Riley, Part 2. This story is copyright M.A. Bilborough. Well, the alley was pretty empty. Not a sausage. A couple of trash cans, but nobody waiting to jump me. Then on one side, there was a door. Nipper, or whatever his name was, turned the handle and it swung open. Light filled the opening.
Follow me, Mr. Doghouse, said Nipper.
He walked in, and I went after him. I glanced around. There was this room with a large round table in the middle. A red lamp shone down from the ceiling, lighting the table in its yellow light. The place smelled of cigar smoke and bad whiskey. I could make out the faces of some desperate-looking dogs around the table, their eyes on their playing cards. A serious poker game was in progress. It didn't look like they were expecting me.
Hey, big boy.
A calm female voice came from my left. I turned. A pretty Samoyed was standing behind a desk. She was real cute. Soft white fur, one blue eye and one green, her tail wagging happily.
This is Sophie, said Nipper. She works here. Looks after the place. While she's here, you'd better behave yourself.
He laughed nervously.
Cat got your tongue, mister? Not got a name?
His name's Doghouse Riley, interrupted Nipper.
Well, Mr. Riley, you're a big boy, aren't you?
I didn't mean to be, I answered.
Handsome, too, and I bet you know it.
Sophie opened her eyes wide, and her tail wagged faster. That was supposed to make me roll over on my back with all four paws in the air. I didn't. I'm here to play poker, I said. Nobody gonna introduce me? Sophie suddenly dropped her tail and looked serious.
Sure thing. Hey, boys,
she called out.
We've got a visitor. Says he plays poker.
The boys looked up. I don't even think they'd noticed I'd come in. They were so involved in their poker game. Each dog nodded his head as Sophie called out his name.
Bozo, Max, Milo, Rocky, Coco, and Tucker. Boys, this is Doghouse.
What are you gonna bet, Doghouse? Said the dog called Bozo.
My collar. For tin dog food. A whole tin, I said.
Nice looking collar, said Bozo. Fair enough. You're in.
But I wasn't born yesterday. I wasn't about to make a fool of myself. I don't see any dog food, I said.
Take it easy, big boy. Dog food's on the shelf over there,
said Sophie. I went over to the shelf behind Sophie. The sight of those tins brought back fond memories of a happy home. A little girl and my stomach that was always full. I smelled the tins. There were six of them. They smelled good. I went back to the table. You've got a deal.
Give the dog his chips, Sophie, said Bozo.
I pulled up an empty chair and joined the poker game. I started well and won the first few games. My chips began to pile up. Perhaps this was going to be my lucky night. Winning that dog food would be like a dream come true. It had been quiet until that moment, but suddenly a black and white dog next to me, that was Rocky, began to talk about the weather.
Looks like rain again tomorrow, he said.
You don't say, said Tucker, the dog at the end of the table. Weather seems to be getting worse and worse this winter. It was raining cats and dogs yesterday. Not to mention the cold. A dog can't get warm at night.
I was under the impression something was going on. These guys were trying to distract me from something. I just had to look in the opposite direction to the guys who weren't talking. Those two pugs opposite me looked suspicious. I didn't like the look of them. Small black eyes and permanent silly smiles. They were definitely up to something. We all put down our cards. If I won this game, I'd have enough chips to get the dog food. I put down what I had. Two pairs, aces and kings. The highest cards on the table so far. It just remained for one of the pugs to put his cards on the table.
Sorry, buddy. You lose. Three aces, smiled the pug.
And he laid his cards on the table. He then saw his error. His mouth opened and his cigar fell onto the table.
My, my. Five aces on the table. That's what I call one weird pack of cards, I said.
You don't say, said Bozo. If you ask me, you're the guy who cheated.
It was time to make a move. I'll be taking the dog food I won and I'll be leaving, I said, getting up.
You ain't going anywhere, buddy,
growled Rocky.
That collar is ours.
But I was fast. In a moment I was at the shelf, pushing the Samoyed out of the way.
Hey, mister, I thought you were a gentleman.
Sorry, lady, in this life it's dog eat dog. I grabbed a tin in my mouth and ran to the door. Nipper stood between me and the exit. He hesitated for a moment, then thought better of it, put his paw on his one ear and stepped to one side. I managed to open the door and jump into the dark alley. I heard heavy breathing behind me and turned my head to see Rocky close on my heels. Somehow I had to get rid of him. But when your teeth are your main weapons, fighting with a tin of premium dog food in your mouth is not easy. Still, I had an idea.
They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But what I did then was something I'd never done before or since. I swung round quickly and smashed that dog hard over the head with the tin. The effect was like being hit with a hammer. Rocky lost his balance, fell over onto one side, and lay on the ground, unconscious. "Sweet dreams, buddy," I said to myself. I looked back to see if anybody else had made the bad mistake of chasing after me. But except for a cat staring at the scene in astonishment from beneath a car, there was nobody else around. So I turned and ran on down the empty street. One thing that every dog knows is that you never open a tin of food with your teeth. I've seen too many dogs with half a tongue or deep cuts on their nose to try that way of getting to the contents of a tin. You see, it's quite common to find tins unopened in trash cans, but only us smart dogs know how to make a meal out of that safely. And now I was going to a place where I could do exactly that. I reached the railway bridge some 10 minutes later. It was now late at night, but a moon was shining bright overhead, so I could see pretty well. Nobody around. That was good news. I walked right up to the highest point of the bridge and jumped onto the wall. Down below was a huge drop to where the railway lines ran under the bridge, looking like silver snakes in the moonlight. Had to be careful not to fall off that wall. Now for the smart dog trick. I opened my jaws and dropped that tin of premium dog food down onto the rails below. Splat! Right. I had to get down there fast and find out if I'd been lucky first time. I jumped back off the wall, ran down the bridge road, and turned onto the grass bank that led down to the railway lines. In less than a minute, I was there. My nose did the rest. I soon found that tin from the rich smell of food rising up from it. Yep, it had broken right open, and the black meat had spilled onto the ground. That was one of the best dinners I'd had in a long time. Looking smart, feeling smart, and a gourmet meal too. What else could a street dog like me ask for? I lifted my head and gave out a howl of joy to the moon. And that's the end of the story. I hope you enjoyed Doghouse Riley and you heard the expressions. Remember, you can see these phrases, the B1 and B2 phrases, in the show notes or at my website, www.practicingenglishpodcast183. Until next time, goodbye for now.